Thank you. Please let me take this opportunity to thank the organizing committee and welcome for everybody. I'm Azari Idris and I'm studying at the University of York in Post-War Recovery Studies, Department of Politics in UK. Before I came to UK, I used to work with Centre for Humanitarian Dialogue called HDC, and I involved in every single meetings, either in Aceh, in Jakarta, meeting presidents, meeting the government ministers, and also in all single meetings at high levels here in Geneva. I'm going to discuss about the evolution of power in Aceh, military rule, and its impact on peace building. I'm going to reflect some analysis on my perspective and the also the experience, what I have seen going on the ground. After a long debate at both national and local levels, repeated revision of concept, finally President Megawati signed special autonomy law as part of conflict resolution for Aceh, which took effect in February this year, 2002, amid debates among Achenese elites, grassroots, and GAM, whether or not the law could guarantee peace in the regions, or instead it will promote new violence, ignite new conflict, fertilize the existing protracted civil war, and drive the warring parties to sustain conflict. The law itself is a combination of Aceh Parliament and Jakarta concepts, where during the composition of the law, civil society as important elements and agent of change in Aceh were excluded. The government of Indonesia claimed that the law has been discussed with all necessary entities, both in Jakarta and Aceh, before it was implemented. They did discuss it with civil society groups in Aceh, but merely with those defined by Jakarta. So these unilateral decisions on what is good for Aceh, according to the government of Indonesia, is totally rejected by Aceh Liberation Movement. I think we should take an example of what happened in Sri Lanka when the Sri Lankan government negotiated autonomy law with Indian government for Tamil region with the exclusion of LTTE. Then the violence going on and only the military side will take the benefits. The autonomy law grants better access to economy and politics for the regions in addition to Sharia law. However, there are some fundamental problems that seriously inhibits the provincial government in implementing the law. The first question is, could the autonomy law accommodate various grievances in Aceh? Or could the economic agenda in autonomy law accommodate the entire population of Aceh? In Aceh, there are GAMs, the freedom movements, the victims of the military operations, the conflict-affected community, and unidentified groups who are taking advantages amid protracted conflict. If we want to deal with GAM, because GAM is clearly seeks independence, it is likely that the negotiations or the current negotiation going on in Geneva or in Aceh or Jakarta could accommodate them through political approach, such as local elections or power sharing, where GAM could establish a political party to democratically achieve their ultimate objective, even though the government of Indonesia haven't got a clear clue how they would forward this process. And also in Aceh, there are victims who are seeking justice from the government of Indonesia. They expect the governments to sincerely prosecute those committed human rights abuse in Aceh. The autonomy law doesn't explain this matter, which will lead this group to continuously seek justice through revenge, through retaliations by killing TNI, for example, killing the police, or those who collaborate with them, civilians. So in this case, what's going on in Aceh is going to be sustainable, which means that there will be more killing, there will be more people will be victimized by both sides, either by GAM or by the military, or the TNI or the police BRIMOB, if the justice is not brought to Aceh. And then also affected communities seek justice, economic compensation, development, and betterment of life. In Aceh, justice system or courts are not functioning properly, and also the Kecamatan administration, the sub-district regions, are mostly paralyzed. Most government offices at this level were burned, looted, and some are occupied by military or police BRIMOB. How can the local government convince the people of Aceh that law is being implemented while the system is not functioning? And also, How can the government guarantee their program reach the beneficiaries while the office administration systems to channel the government program is not working properly? And also, because of this autonomy law, there will be a huge amount of projects in Aceh with 70% of revenue sharing. And then to secure the project, the provincial government will need to use the TNI or the police in the area controlled by GAM. So they will use military power again to secure the reconstruction and development project or to deliver other form of humanitarian assistance. But if this happens, it will only feed conflict and doesn't guarantee sustainability. Some budget, of course, must be allocated for security reasons, and therefore it would only spoil military and advantage them both economically and politically, and as a consequence, they have adequate reasons to sustain their positions and conflict in Aceh. With more circulation of money in Aceh due to special autonomy law, but non-transparent, corrupt and weak governments at all levels in Aceh, it is obvious that the NAD government, the provincial government, will be unable to properly manage the flow of money, and therefore, as shown in other conflicts, the law will only feed existing conflict and create mistrust. I'm afraid if when there will be a huge amount of money circulates in Aceh, I'm afraid that GAM, what they are doing now is like taxing people. When there's more money, they'll tax more money from the people and they get more money from the government's project. What is going on is that the government will contribute to the movement, will contribute to develop more conflict, to fuel more conflict, and also it will strengthen their power. And of course, the competition will be going on with the military for the sake of economic interest. And the problem here is that the civil community will be like a sandwich. They will be in the middle. And then previous experience shows that the TNI was eager to involve in development or recovery project, for example, flood recovery programs in Aceh, which has not been implemented so far. The TNI could use their power to force the provincial government through their Bhakti TNI program, which the reason is that the area is not safe for the government to implement project. The question is, how can the autonomy law empower local capacity, local skill, and local workforce to rebuild Aceh peacefully through promoting participation and creating sense of belonging? The TNI will most likely force local community for free labor to work with them. As a consequence, this is potential to spread more hatred between civilian and military or state, and eventually it will breed more violence. The experience during the military operation Dom was very clear, how they forced the local civilians to work for development project for the military for free labor. The Bhakti TNI program is another means how the TNI squeeze Aceh money to fund their operations and maintain their territorial functions in order to control all civilian movements. And then in Aceh, the government has also declared there are clear and unclear areas. The project could be prioritized in the so-called clear area and ignore unclear area. This will create discrimination and hatred among the communities that will lead horizontal conflict between Achenese and the provincial government. GAM could claim the people in clear area as government supporters, but people living in unclear area will be accused of supporting GAM. The dilemma will then create horizontal conflict between those seen as opposing and supporting GAM. So how can the project implementation to continue unless the provincial government collaborate with NGOs, for example? Well, the fact that NGOs in Aceh are viewed as freedom movement supporters, the NAD government and the military will be hesitating to build cooperation with them, or instead they will establish government-led NGOs. There are NGOs in Aceh, but very much on government control. Maybe without N, it's only government organizations. The government of Indonesia and the provincial government of Aceh appear to be not really serious in implementing the law. It seems that they are only thinking how to maintain their political position and gain as many economic and political opportunities through the camouflage of autonomy law. For instance, Now, under the approval of Jakarta, the provincial government are establishing several new districts, new kabupaten, in order for current ruling regime in Aceh to be able to maintain their positions and bear alliance if future local election to be held in Aceh because of autonomy law. The establishment of new district is a clear indication to allow more space for the military to intervene at lowest government administration as possible, because by establishment of the new sub-district, the new military and police headquarters need to be installed. How can we expect more space for civilian communities to freely express their political and economic rights if they have to compete with military interests? And then recently, Kanun, this is the provincial law, the new law under the autonomy law, was composed with the exclusion of civil society in Aceh. It was made by the parliament, that some of whom are not even representative, as general election in Aceh was not taking place properly. If the canon is made for the benefit of the people of Aceh, why were they not invited to contribute? Their aspiration need to be heard, as the law itself will then be implemented for the people of Aceh. Is there any guarantee that the canon could promote participation, appreciation and peace? As civil societies in Aceh were excluded in the process, the canon is potential to be ignored by the people of Aceh. If this happens, I'm afraid the military and police will again force the people to follow the rules without coercion or through dictatorial manners. Obviously, it will again cause new violence, this time not with the central government, but with local government, with local parliament, and even worse, among Acehnese themselves, who are for and against the law. So it seems to me that the application of autonomy law in Aceh is solely to follow Jakarta instructions rather than to allow local initiative to proceed how they want to fashion or how they want to shape Aceh in the future. So obviously this is another form of Jakarta's role to dictate people of Aceh regardless of autonomy law. And then when we look at politics, politics is another essential agenda in the autonomy law in Aceh. One of the essential articles is the opportunity for the Acehnese to carry out local elections by which we can elect governor directly, we can fully participate in democracy and political affairs. However, with the dominant presence of military and police paramilitary BRIMOB and the establishment of Kodam in Aceh, the freedom of democracy and political agenda in Aceh is hardly possible to forward peacefully. The military and possibly GAM could intervene in domestic politics over civilian roles. The reasons are based on the following facts and questions. Will GAM ever wholeheartedly agree with autonomy law to engage in local politics, which is clearly supervised and led by Jakarta through its military power in Aceh? Can the dialogue lead GAM to accept this offer, to lay down their weapon and struggle through political means? In one of peace agreements, GAM agrees to engage through non-violent measures to achieve their political objective. However, Governor of Indonesia did not seem to allow GAM to freely engage in political affairs in Aceh, let alone to establish its political party. How can GAM and Governor of Indonesia allow other groups in Aceh to establish political party in local election, if this is going to happen? While GAM claims that they are representing the people of Aceh, but some groups claim that they also have rights to participate. The autonomy law doesn't clearly explain what local election means. Will Jakarta allow the people of Aceh to establish political parties to engage in local election without Jakarta interventions? And then the people of Aceh are not fully aware of their political rights, and therefore it is potential that their rights can be manipulated. There are a number of intellectuals, activists and academia who are fully aware of political issues, but they are risking their life if they are seen as opposing one side or the other. Two critical professors, human rights defenders, NGO workers, and a member of monitoring team of security modalities in humanitarian posts were killed in Aceh. It's not counting the other civilians. The absence of civil society participation in political process is an obvious indication that power is dominated by an oppressive regime. This sort of nation is characterized by widespread of insecurity and is likely to create the climate of distrust and suspicions. On the contrary, a strong civil society can cement a societal fabric that can support civil conflict resolution. The civil society group in Aceh encompasses all of elements of active citizenship reaching from local level across the middle level to top level, such as in government representative. Such groups are also societal sectors, including businessmen, trade unions, journalists, scientists, ulamas, these religious leaders, peace and human rights activists, women associations, farmers and fishermen. In order to create sustainable peace, the transition process needs to enjoy the support of the entire population and not only the political elites. It is critical to mobilize people at grassroots level, people living in rural areas, by giving them the opportunity to participate in their own affairs freely at the lowest level possible. Participation strengthens civil society and the economy through the empowerment of individuals, communities and organizations. However, in the situation in Aceh, the traumatized population in Aceh, the victims, the marginalized, the abandoned populations, the uneducated, the one who live under threat and pressure, will not be able to perform themselves to democratically participate and express their opinions. As long as the military and police paramilitary still take control of the regions offer civil government, the people of Aceh still face major obstacles in participation, fair and open politics. Military and peace building. The installation of Kodam is another major obstacle for peace building in Aceh. The TNI will keep maintaining their functions under national integrity doctrines through their territorial operations. Top brass officers in Jakarta and recently on the 15th of April, Chief of Staff of Iskandar Muda, the new military headquarters in Aceh, repeatedly announced that dialogue is not related to military operations. Military operation on one side and dialogue on the other side. And the Impress No. 1, 2002 is the strong backup to carry out their agenda in Aceh. On the other hand, Pangkolaap is another Jakarta-based TNI structure in Aceh, which is contradictory to the spirit of autonomy law that allows local governments to take the responsibility of internal security matters as announced by President Megawati. And President Megawati has officially announced that security recovery in Aceh is the responsibility of local government as part of the devolution of powers through autonomy law. The assumption is that this policy will also affect financial arrangement of provincial government, that certain percentage of budget will go to support military operation in Aceh. And a year ago, a controversial settlement met by top military officials that for Aceh, security first and development later. So does it mean that give the power first to the military and then ignore the civil supremacy? And then continuous demand for peace in Aceh is translated differently by the government and the TNI. For them, peace means sending more military in Aceh in order to provide better security in the province. But the people of Aceh interpret peace as no violence, free from military operations, no killing, proper law enforcement, betterment of economy, development, better education, freedom of expression, participation, and civil supremacy. Well, I think the government of Indonesia needs to continue to negotiate with GAM, but it is important to note that conflict in Aceh doesn't belong to high levels only. It doesn't belong to Jakarta and Stockholm only. It belongs to the people, the grassroots people who suffers, the grassroots people who severely affected, who feel how conflict has affected their life socially, economically, and psychologically, and also politically. In this context, it is very important that the government and GAM should be more inclusive in their pursuit of peace. Civil society should not be seen and treated as mere spectators in the peace process, but are part and parcel of the peace process. The government and GAM are urged to be more inclusive in their pursuit of peace and to find ways to involve civil society in plans and actions that generate solidarity, reconciliation, and appreciation. One of significant GAM and the government agreements is all-inclusive dialogue, all democratic consultations, which was reached in July last year. This is a window of opportunity to include all elements in Aceh to participate in finding peaceful solutions. However, the government translates it as the dialogue participated by the groups defined by the government through her provincial office under the management of the governor of Aceh, which has been a long debate with GAM during the negotiation process. And the people of Aceh understand that all-inclusive dialogue is the democratic participation of all elements, formal and non-formal entities in Aceh, and the diasporas in finding lasting comprehensive solution for Aceh. This differences has actually abandoned the implementation of agreement. What fear us is that if this happened, then the government claim they have their own civil society, and the GAM claim that they have their own civil society, and when the negotiation take place between these two different societies, and it will only build new conflict, communal conflict among the people of Aceh who are on the side of GAM and who are on the side of government. Then dialogue and military operations are two contradictory formulas, and I think military operation must stop in order to allow space for negotiation and peace agreement implementations. Previous peace agreements failed to implement in Aceh. It appears that serious negotiation to reach full ceasefire is essential, with the presence of international monitors to ensure the success of implementation of the agreement. I believe it will be very difficult to convince the government of Indonesia for ceasefire and to get them ready to harbor international monitors. But with international intervention, especially the European community, we expect the government will accept the idea. And it seems that also negotiation has been used by the government of Indonesia to politically promote their credibility to the international community, as if real peace process were going on in Aceh. So therefore, they could convince the international community for economic and political benefits. The conclusions and recommendation is that for the Acehese, it is not only a question of having more humanitarian aid, development, economic equity, and military establishment. It is a question of achieving justice for the victims of the conflict and for those who committed the crime. At national level, Megawati is struggling hard to defend her position as a president. In this case, she will need a strong support from the military. Therefore, she will not condemn, prosecute, correct, or even advise military their position and behavior in Aceh. It will imperil her position in 2004 when the new elections. Then the European community is hardly expected to work hand in hand with Henry Yunan Center in Aceh to facilitate and mediate peace process through more political measures, practical measures, such as to strengthen local capacities for peace, support local NGOs, create hope to the people of Aceh and stimulate people to disengage themselves from war, exchange experiences by promoting other international examples, how peacemakers work in other regions, and get both sides, GAM and the government, to understand how conflict should peacefully be resolved. They should learn from a number of successful and sustainable resolutions from other regions. I think in this case, a comparative study for them is urgently required. Then they also need to engage in multi-track diplomacy, deep intervention in governance building, military and police reform, frequently expose the suffering of Acehese, human rights abuse, etc., through internationally through coalition of NGOs, humanitarian and development institutions, in order to create awareness among international community. And because this is European community, I think Norway is well known for her experience in peace building and conflict resolution, and I see the possibility for Norway to involve in peace process in Aceh, as they have successfully reached ceasefire agreement in Sri Lanka recently and in other parts of the world. The European community should set up an agenda how to get involved in mitigating political violence in Aceh, either at international, national or local level. Get the government of Indonesia and the provincial government to learn from other successful conflict resolution how armed conflict ended peacefully. If the government of Indonesia did not know how to prevent conflict, they should learn how to end it. Therefore, more international advocacy, pressures, advice, or other conditional arrangements are required in order to provide better human security in Indonesia. Thank you.